This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Memory, it's not just about facts, it's also about identity and the stories we tell about ourselves, the moments we return to. So how does it work? How does memory actually work? And what happens when different parts of it change right across our lives? Well, that question brings us to Shane Rogers, who's a senior lecturer in psychology at Edith Cowan University. Shane, welcome to Drive.
Good afternoon, Warren.
When people say they've got a bad memory, what kinds of things are they usually struggling with?
Typically, when people say they have a bad memory, they would be referring more to their, well, a few things, I suppose. First of all, I guess your more shorter term memory, like, cause that's kind of like, you know, if someone, you're trying to remember a phone number or something and you might struggle to hold it in mind sometimes. Then also, I suppose sometimes people might complain, I know I do as well, about when, you know, there's some fact that you need to recall, like, you know how, like, if you're having a chat with friends and then there's like something happened on some TV show that you watched ages ago, and then, you know, you know that you know it, but you're struggling to get it. So that's a more of a longer term sort of more what we'd call a semantic type of memory that people can maybe struggle with sometimes. And then finally, there's also another category of memory called episodic memory, where that's specifically for remembering little episodes in our lives. And sometimes people can have, like, you know, struggle to recall certain specific episodes, like the what and when and where. Like, you know, you might remember that there was some person you met, but, like, you can't remember, like, precisely where it was or maybe even when it was, things like that. There is a couple of others, but I'll leave that for now. But so there's a lot of, well, I guess the main point there is there's lots of different kind of memory failures, and it's more varied than perhaps what first meets the eye.
Shane, I'm fascinated about memory because you often think that it might be like a continuously recording video recorder that records everything in our lives, but it's not like that, is it? We don't record everything and just completely, you know, it's like a rewrite disc and it writes over itself. How does it work?
Yeah. So it's not at all like that, even though sometimes intuitively we think it might be like that. You know, this idea that, like what you've alluded to, like, you know, our memories are kind of like taking a photograph. But yeah, it's not like that at all. Instead, it's better to think of our memories as like a reconstruction. And so it's generally we're pretty good at remembering the gist of things that have happened to us, or just, and facts as well, we can remember them in fairly broad terms. But what our memory system does is that for the more nitty gritty specific details, whenever we recall something, it can be potentially a little bit different each time, because that the way our memory system works, one analogy might be, it's like, let's say everyone knows Lego, right? So let's say you've got like a little Lego car. And so let's say, as an analogy, it's like a memory is like the core chassis of the car, like the gist. But anytime you recall that particular memory, you recall the chassis pretty accurately, but then you might have like slightly different tires or a different windscreen, if you know what I mean. Like the different elements of the memory might change a little bit each time you recall things.
And that makes complete sense when I think about it. I mean, some memories feel really personal and almost like you're back in the moment there and then when it was happening, while others feel sort of very distant. And I suppose what determines whether, you know, a memory is very sort of vivid and clear compared to one where you've just got that gist feeling?
Yeah, so the memories that are more distant, they're ones that when you recall them, you're probably going to be like making some errors on some of those little specific details like I was talking about before, because your mind can just kind of fill in the gaps and just throw in extra little things to flesh it out more. And so your memory might not be, it'll still be well-rounded and feel kind of solid and clear, but the little details might have some errors and things in it. But as you've mentioned, there are certain memories that we do tend to be like very accurate, even for the smaller details and things. And as you've also mentioned, usually that is for your more highly emotional memories that you have. The reason for that is because deep in the brain, when we are encoding memories, there's a little brain structure which many of your listeners might have heard of before called the hippocampus, which is really strongly associated with memory. And it turns out that right next to the hippocampus, another really important little brain structure exists right next to it, which is called the amygdala. And the amygdala is like very important for emotional processing. So it's like emotional processing and memory go hand in hand, and they're very close together in the brain. And sometimes when we have really emotional memories, that arousal that we get from the emotion can help to encode a lot more stronger.
Right.
So then we can like recall it back more accurately later on.
We're chatting with Shane Rogers, Senior Lecturer in Psychology at Edith Cowan University, about how memory works. Shane, now, many of us, you know, we've got ideas about ourselves. You know, we might be confident, we might be cautious, might be sporty, or some of us shy. How do these ideas about ourselves form from our memories?
Yeah, so thanks for raising that, because that links into what we were talking about before. So it's sort of when we recall things, as I was talking about before, we tend to fill in certain little gaps sometimes when our memories, and like we have a gist of something, then we fill in some sort of specific details that can change a little bit over time. And so like what you've mentioned, different people have different identities about themselves or things that they just value more or think about more. So it makes sense, right, that if you're a more sporty person, well, when you're recalling certain particular things, you might have a bit of a bias for that, your own sporty identity to potentially insert itself a little bit into some of the more little specific details that you might be remembering about things and stuff like that. So what that kind of means from an identity perspective is that over time and over recalling lots of different things, that identity kind of creeps in to your recall of different things, which then compounds your own identity in this kind of, you know, circular kind of manner, which is a good thing. We've evolved that way because I guess it can help us to sort of build and maintain a sense of identity.
What happens though, Shane, you know, as we age, perhaps our memory is not as good and our identity is based on that memory. What happens to our identity, or what can happen to it in that case?
So in older adulthood, researchers over the decades in psychology has found that memory can decline a bit, but I must qualify that by saying that it's highly variable. Like you can get some people whose memory doesn't really decline much and some whose declines a lot. So there's a lot of individual differences there. So it's not necessarily like it's destiny for that to happen if people take care of themselves and stuff. But what can happen, as you're alluding to, is that specifically, episodic memory, like remembering for like the where and when type information, can degrade a little bit when you get into much older adulthood. And that type of memory is quite tied to a sense of identity because that, you know, where and when I was is kind of, it's very personal, these more personal episodic memories. So, yeah, that can potentially lead to a bit of more fragmenting on, you know, your personal identity a little bit if you're having memory difficulties in much later life, yeah.
A couple of texts come in. Hannah says, I love this one. My mum reading to me every night. I reckon that's why I love books. I mean, that's the sort of thing we're talking about, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I guess so, yeah. So if you, my mum read to me. It was when I was a child too. I have fond memories of that, so I have that in common with your listener. And I think, and that has influenced myself as well. I carried that on for the rest of my life, just like your listeners do as well.
It's amazing. Rob says, Dad teaching me how to reverse a trailer. I still feel proud thinking about it. So it invokes these feelings, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, certain memories that we have are tied to kind of our life history and our narrative of like who we are. And so like in Rob's example, there's this that kind of memory, I guess, is tied to sort of himself and his identity. and it's a positive memory and linked to your identity in a positive way. And so it's important for us to reminisce and recall these kind of things because it can reinforce our who we are as a person and also reinforce the idea that to ourselves that, hey, we are a good person who's deserving of good things and all that sort of stuff. That's important for our well-being.
Luke, I like this one. Luke from Reservoir says, failing my driving test 3 times, I still hate parallel parking. I can understand that.
Yeah, and so certain memories that we have can generalize to other things, you know, like, so if you, in that example, you're sort of getting a learned association of something negative and then generalizing to something else. And that's highly adaptive, right? Because that then means when we encounter other things in our lives, and particularly sometimes more novel things, we're going to be more ready to adapt. Although, I mean, the parking's maybe not that dangerous, but I guess maybe it is if you ding someone.
Thank goodness for that auto parking in the new cars.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about that again. Shane, this is a fascinating conversation. We've run out of time, unfortunately, because news is coming up. But what would you say, I suppose, to someone who is a little bit concerned about their memory? Maybe they are starting to forget a few things.
So all I would say, and I know we've got run out of time, so kind of be active. First of all, don't stress out about it too much. There is things you can do. And in short, yeah, be proactive about it. Don't just, being passive is actually the more worst thing you can do. You want to like work your memory, you know, like keep engaging with things, keep challenging yourself, keep pushing yourself. It's kind of like a muscle, trying to work a muscle. And then you can keep that muscle fit. It's the same sort of thing for your memory.
Shane, fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
Thank you. That was Shane Rogers, lecturer, senior lecturer in psychology at Edith Cowan University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.